Welcome to SaaS Unlock. This is Prateek, CEO and founder at Insidia. We have a special guest today, but before I introduce him, I want to discuss more about the content creation part. Today, social media is so busy with a lot of content out there. We are creating so much content, but we are struggling with repurposing our content in different platforms. For example, I create a lot of content on LinkedIn, but eventually, when it comes to converting to videos or using other platforms, it's quite challenging. So let me introduce you to a special guest today, Hani. Hani is a founder and CEO at Repurpose.io. He has built something amazing. I'll let him share his story. And maybe, Hani, you can share your backstory so audience can know from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, my name's Hani Mora from Toronto, Canada, and the founder of Repurpose.io. And really the whole idea of Repurpose is to allow you to publish content in one place, your favorite channel, whether it's TikTok, whether it's YouTube, and then have it automatically go out to all other platforms without you having to lift a finger. And that's been the vision. But the interesting thing is it didn't start off like that. As an entrepreneur, you always have an idea, but then the market tells you a little bit otherwise, or the market changes, the creator space in my case has changed. So it's something I learned along the way. I've been doing this for about 9 years now, that even though as a founder you have a vision, you need to be a little bit flexible. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to go with it? Because let the customers drive, and then the market needs drive where you're going.
Wow, definitely relatable. And I'm sure that any founder or entrepreneurs listening can relate to what you said. But again, when you came up with the idea, yeah. I'm sure you yourself have been struggling with a specific problem, or maybe along the way while you were creating something, you came across problem statement that other users might came across. How did you first encounter that idea?
Yeah, so from rewind back, let's say 10 years, before mm-hmm. my first tool, it wasn't repurposed, it was something else, which is still around. But the problem I had as a content creator, blogger, and a YouTuber, person who creates content on YouTube, was back then, 10 years ago, the biggest objective was to get your YouTube videos onto your blog, because blogging was, it still is, but was about 10 years ago the primary platform. So I hated the fact that I had to make a video, upload to YouTube, put a title, put a description, and then go to my blog, copy the embed code, paste it. And I thought, hey, I was doing it every week. I wish I could just automate that. It seems silly that I can't just put a video on YouTube and have it show up on my blog. And that was the first problem I was solving for myself. And I built my first WordPress plugin. And that's how I got into space, in this content space, as a creator, content creator myself, but also as a person who likes to automate and simplify and just be more productive. So that was about 10 years ago. And then a year later, podcasting was kind of picking up again. Audio podcasting was starting up. I should say not picking up, starting up. So someone told me, hey, you have a YouTube plugin. Can you make one for podcasts? So I had podcasts go to your blog. Hey, long story short, a few months later, we developed that WordPress plugin. A year later, Facebook Live is becoming a thing. So we built a tool for Facebook Live. So we started with an automation tool to publish content from your social media to your blog. And that's how we got started, built 3 or 4 variations. And then one day, the moment came, was just people came to me and said, you, in their eyes, you're the automation guy. Can you build a software that takes my, audio podcast, turns them into a video, puts them on YouTube for me? Mm-hmm. I was like, that's interesting. But no, that's not what we do. We do WordPress plugins. More people kept asking, can you take my Facebook Live, put it on YouTube for me? I hate doing that manually. Long story short, I just had enough people had asked me, and I said, I need to try. I feel like it was my calling. I needed to try. So that's how the Repurpose was born. Actually, it was just first thing. The only thing it did when we first kind of prototyped it was take an audio, turn it into a video with some, moving elements, and then automatically push that to YouTube. And that was the first feature.
It's been a long journey for you. So I'm sure product has evolved since it launched. Maybe you want to share a bit more detailed journey on how this product evolved with certain features that you incorporated. Like, for example, you mentioned you added Facebook, the amount of users you have built along the way. like, you know, your learning journey from the users who was using the platform, giving you feedbacks to improve maybe on that front?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing with audio to YouTube and then Facebook Live, people said, I want a Facebook Live to YouTube. So, okay, let's do that. And then a lot of the focus shifted into people telling they wanted video content. So my initial idea, again, as a founder, I'm like, I'm going to target the audio podcasters, but it turned out a lot more video creators were entering our platform. So they wanted to repurpose videos from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Want to push them everywhere else. And that's where we went next. And let's build some video tools, taking videos from YouTube, making them into clips. That was another feature we were doing. This is before short form content was the thing. It was people were making clips and they're putting them on Twitter because it had a short limit. And so we did that evolution into video, and that's becoming our primary platform now is video. And then we went from that into what's now short form video. And that's where we kind of took off a year ago. TikTok, just, you know, we decided to do an integration with TikTok and repurpose that content to different platforms. And that's when really we kind of found another round of product market fit, a whole different type of product market fit with a different type of audience, which are the short form creators. And that's when things started to kind of pick off quickly. We saw
Let's talk about specific use case, right? If I'm like a content creator, maybe understanding the product side better, right? So it's creating video from text or...
It's very
the
simple.
Other way around.
No, it's basically, the idea is let's say TikTok is my go-to platform. Nowadays, people either go TikTok first or Instagram. Let's say TikTok, right? I do video on TikTok. I do all my editing on TikTok because I like the editor. I do everything and I publish it to TikTok. Then I got to go and download the video from TikTok without the watermark. Then I got to upload it to Twitter. Then I got to upload it to LinkedIn. Then I got to upload it to YouTube Shorts and then Instagram Reel and then Facebook Reel. With our software, once you connect it all up, you can just upload to video to TikTok and then the rest is automatic. We can take the video from TikTok without the watermark and we'll automatically post it to all other platforms.
Boom, wow, this is so good.
Yeah.
It's scheduling tool to next level.
Because you don't have to do any scheduling, even if you don't want. You could if you wanted to, but you can set it up to be completely automatic such that when the new video is up on TikTok, within 2 hours, you say, it will automatically show up on all your other platforms that you want. You choose, obviously, which ones you want it to go to.
Perfect. So, like, you know, your product has helped so many businesses. I'm sure you have like great testimonials from the customers who've been using your platform. Maybe if you want to share, like, you know, some of the success stories that you have received or got from the customers and that feedback that has helped even evolve the product better.
Yeah, I mean, our so many different use cases. Like I said, we described one use case. Everywhere else, people have done the opposite. I'm trying to think the top of my head, like kind of the interesting thing. So our platform is meant to be automation, right? We can't say, hey, you're going to be, your YouTube channel is going to explode, or, you know, we can't guarantee it. We don't have control over the algorithm. All we do is we help you save a ton of time by we automatically posting it. But we did have a few, you know, case studies. I wouldn't say studies, just customer telling us, hey, set up a workflow from TikTok to YouTube Shorts back in the summer when YouTube Shorts was becoming hot. I just said auto. I just let it go. And then, you know, within a month, like their channel exploded. They've had like millions of views, like cumulative millions of views. Subscriber rates went off the roof. So they basically transferred their content they've already been doing on other channels like TikTok onto YouTube Shorts with really no effort. Like it just happened automatically. So we've heard crazy stories like that. I've heard two of them, where people just exploded on YouTube. And it's just people posting and telling us, like, it's not even like we didn't solicit any.
I agree with you because there are a lot of content creators who choose like initial platform that they want to grow their accounts on.
Yes.
Mostly people were using YouTube and then they wanted to like also grow their Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. This tool is a bomb. It can really like, you know, save tons of time. And me as a content creator, I understand what it takes because let's say, for example, this podcast, I'm doing it on like, you know, YouTube and I want to put it on TikTok and Instagram. It can be a big help in saving time.
Yeah.
So now as an entrepreneur, what tips you would give other entrepreneurs who are looking to build a successful product like yours?
Yeah, to me, the thing is kind of passion and persistence, because when you start something, you have to be really excited about it to the point where like you're almost obsessed about it. Because if you don't, you're not gonna have the perseverance to go through to the end. I mean, unless you get lucky and you get thousands of customers within a few weeks, The beginning is always hard, right? You have to kind of build the product, and at the same time, you have to market the product. Don't wait, product and build market. At the same time, it's just you gotta love and believe in your idea. Otherwise, you're gonna burn out, and you're gonna say, "Why am I doing this for 100 users? Why am I doing this for 20 users?" You're gonna give up and not continue. So I think it's really important that you do it in a field that you love and an idea that you love. Like, I've always been a content creator, even before building any software. I was blogging, YouTube, teaching on YouTube about video. So I was in my comfort zone, my zone of genius. And,
your background is into like more on the business side of things. You're not a developer, right?
No, so, I'm actually a computer engineer, a software engineer myself. Not the best developer, but I know enough to be like enough. I found my skill set is not the development, but more like reading the API documents and understanding like just bigger picture. So I have actually technical background. It's more.
Yeah, so that really does make sense, because it's hard for creating product when you don't have technical knowledge, but as an engineer, definitely it's a big bonus to building a product, or else you need to have a co-founder, CTO or somebody.
Yes, no, that's actually a good point. And I was going to say that next is that, I had friends of mine say, I want to build a software. My first answer is don't, because you're not technical, don't do it unless you have a technical co-founder, because it's difficult. And it's just, I know there's a ton of tools out there, but things, the market has changed. There's a lot of security, it's becoming harder and harder to create if you're not a technical person or don't know somebody that technical can help you manage your team. So, I had that advantage myself because I am technical, and it really helps speed things up.
Definitely. And that's why we created Insidia, right? So we can help entrepreneurs like you or anybody else who is not into technical stuff, where we can help you hire the right person. Just self-promoting ourselves.
No, but it's so true. I'm 100%, you have to have
it's a problem statement for most of the founders, and like I'm one of them, right? So I was struggling with building a product, and then I think I solved the problem through building Insidia. So that's how it goes. Now, the future is like, AI, automation, no code, low code, and all of the buzzwords out there. What do you see the future of content creation, and how your tool will go to the next level using those technologies?
Yeah. I mean, in our case, in our market with the content, I think AI is the biggest buzzword right now for our space, the creator. Mm-hmm. Is AI, and we've already introduced our first AI feature about a month ago, is to help you generate the social media captions for your videos so that they sound better, and we recommend a few hashtags. But that was just the beginning. We have a nice roadmap of AI automation kind of combined together to really streamline the process of whether you're creating short videos and help you distribute them, and also if you're creating long videos like this interview here, how to chop them up automatically, how to streamline the process of taking a long video in horizontal format, making vertical clips for YouTube, and recommending a bunch of clips for you so that you can speed up the editing process.
Because what you mentioned about caption, it definitely is the biggest pain point. Not now so much if you are using ChatGPT or AI. Mm-hmm. But again, within the platform, it is much easier. Because at the end of the day, repurpose goal is to save time. Mm-hmm. Right. So definitely does add an additional feature that your user will love. That brings us to most interesting part of the session. And it's a rapid fire round where we learn more about your personal side of things. There are 5 questions and you have to be a bit quick to answer those. Again, you can take your time. Just kidding. Okay. Name one other company and CEO that inspires you and why.
Steve Jobs, and he's just the way everything is built great from the inside and the outside. That's a quote I heard from one of his books, is build things amazing from the inside, even when customers can't see it, and from the outside where customers can see and interact with it.
and still like, you know, user experience when you create those two things, it's incredible. I love him too. What's one of the best business advice you've ever received?
Just put it out there. Put something out there and get feedback, because you don't know what's going to happen.
In addition to, like, you know, this question, like, what was, like, you know, one thing that, you know, makes business successful, or one thing that makes you successful in your entrepreneur journey?
You have to care about your customers. Treat them almost like every customer, especially in the beginning, is like a friend, not a dollars figure, a friend. Like, I want to help my friend get this, get that. And just get personal with your customers and make your software, if it's a software or whatever service, make it feel like someone's working with a human, not working with a big corporation or working with a tool. Just make yourself or your team available to help people like you would your own friend.
Perfect. Always, like, you know, there are certain skills that every entrepreneur possesses, right? So what is one skill that has helped you build this company successfully?
I mean, obviously the technical skill helped, but it's not a mandatory, it was a technical skill. But also just having systems, being able to understand that you can't do everything yourself. When you do, in the beginning you might, but then you need to start documenting and building small systems in place and building a team that supports you. So your role switches from doing everything to, instead of how do I do this, it's who's going to do this and how am I going to get that help to come help me? That's really important. You're going to hit a ceiling very quickly when you try to do everything yourself or with one or two people.
Absolutely. So there's also a thing, right? When you are into your entrepreneurial journey, and there's always a roller coaster, there's new challenges every day. Dealing with team members sometimes can be a hassle. Hiring and making decisions, revenue, sales, marketing, a lot of things going on, right? And sometimes it's stressful, frustrating. What motivates you the most during this journey?
You mean like which part of the business or more?
No, I mean, like, you know, what is your motivation to keep going and not getting, like, you know, frustrated? Because at the end of the day, business is a long-term game and it requires consistent effort. And usually people give up too early, right? The question is, what should be your motivation that keeps you going?
Yeah, it should not be money. I mean, everyone wants money and to grow their business, obviously you need money, but that shouldn't be your only motivator. Like I said earlier, you have to love, like, I believe in a repurpose. The idea is it's so different. It's special. I believe in it. I mean, this is something I was almost building for myself in a way. Like, this is going to be the best. Here's how we solve this problem. You really got to love what you're doing and really believe in what you're doing, because you're going to hit points where things are flat, things are going down. And you just need to adjust. You can't just throw the towel and give up. You need to adjust. If you believe in your product and you believe in your service or your business in general, that's going to get you through the hard times, because everyone goes through hard times. In the beginning, it's hard. And then even midway through, a couple of years into it, we're doing well. And then things kind of went flat for a while. And I'm like, you know, I still have so much, like, ideas and stuff to build in the tool. So you really got to be passionate and love it to get through those hard times.
What's your take on, like, you know, consistency? How much time do you think on average that entrepreneurs should at least spend on the startup before giving up?
Like years. Because,
I mean, your journey is like 10 years long.
Right now it's 10 years across all the products. Yeah, when the repurpose itself is about almost 6 years with the repurpose. Wow. The other tools has been...
I'm asking this question because there are a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs who are, like, maybe early in their journeys. Usually, like, you know, people start, okay, they take the first step, mm-hmm. but they don't see results, like, you know, in first 1 month, maybe 6 months, maybe 1 year. And usually they give up in their first year. Yes. What is something that, like, you know, what tip you would give them, which will actually, like, you know, help them be consistent and still stick to it and become profitable?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I did when I launched Repurpose, before I really built anything, I tried to sell it. Like, I did a pre-sell. I said, hey, here's the idea. I was always afraid to do that. I've heard people do it. I'm like, how do you sell something that's not built yet? But I said, let me try. I just did a webinar and invited, you know, whatever email list I had, a few hundred people on there. And I sold the idea, and I showed just a couple of screenshots, a couple of ideas. And I said, it'll be ready in like 3-4 months. If you know, sign up now. And I had 25 people, you know, give me money and believe in the idea. I mean, they were on my email list, so they knew me. I built the relationship. So I would recommend doing something like that. A, building an audience of some kind, like while you're developing. If you're comfortable developing, I've never done it, but people develop online, they share, you know, on Twitter as they develop. I've never been a fan of that myself personally. I never did it, but just build some kind of audience, whether it's a YouTube channel where you talk about, you know, like become an expert in your space. So build an audience and pitch them the idea and see if you can get some money before you launch. It's a little bit of validation before you launch to keep you motivated. That's one thing I would do if you're just starting. If you're kind of in the middle of it and you feel like you're not making progress, you need to focus less on development and new features. If you're doing software, and focus more on like, am I solving right? Is my messaging right? Am I addressing the right people? Stuff that at least me as a technical person, slightly more technical, I don't enjoy as much, but it's important. If you don't enjoy it, get somebody, you know, hire somebody part-time to help you analyze it, break it down, and help you achieve it. Because you can't go all in on marketing with no product. You can't go on product with no marketing. You need to have a balance. And as you go, you need to do both. You can't just finish one, then do the other.
100%. So there's every entrepreneur has their favorite book or a movie or a TV show that, you know, that changes their life or inspires them. What is something for you?
I mean, the Steve Jobs book was kind of I read it. It was audio. I listened to it. It was the audio version. I don't read a lot of books, I'll be honest with you. I'm probably maybe in the low minority here that I don't read a lot of books.
But yeah, I'm into more of an audiobook more of like, you know, video tutorials kind of things.
For me, it's like, it's audiobooks and then podcasts. I listen to I'm in the software space. I listen to a couple of startups, like Startup for the Rest of Us is one of the podcasts I listen to for more software based. And
maybe any podcast that you can recommend our listeners?
Yeah, if you're into like doing a software startup, there's one called Startups for the Rest of Us.
And SaaS Unlocked,
obviously, too. But the thing is with podcasts, I learned for a while is it's great, it's inspiring, but you have to look at it as inspiration, not necessarily actionable tips. Like it's good, it gets you motivated, you're out, you're walking, and then you get back, and then you gotta do, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be consuming. You gotta consume, get motivated, inspired, and then try something. Maybe you learn something from me or somebody on another episode, and then you gotta take action. That's the bottom line. Like listening and consuming is only get you so far. You need to apply, do something, try this little trick, or send the email out that you don't want to send to your audience, or just take that first step. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be consuming and not actually achieving anything. So just keep that balance in mind, and don't get overwhelmed. Like one thing I did is I look back, I'm like, man, I can't believe I did that. It's like, compare myself to a lot of people, like, especially in the, like when I launched Repurpose, a bunch of people were launching software in the similar space, not competitive, but you know, in the adjacent space in the content creation. And then like, you know, a year later, I'm like, wow, they're doing so many things. Sometimes they post their revenue, and I'm just like, wow, what am I doing wrong? And how come they're here and I'm still, you know what I mean? Then you start comparing yourself, and then you go down this bad rabbit hole of like doubt. And then, so it's good to see what other people are doing. Use it as inspiration. Don't compare yourself, because everyone's journey, target audience, everyone's doing things differently. Learn from people, but don't obsess on why am I not here? Why are they here and I'm not there? So I think I wanted to share that, because I personally went through it for a while. I was like, why am I not? How did they get there and I'm still here? You know? And then it's not a healthy place to be.
It's you versus you, not you versus others. Yeah. Like, and that, when you stop comparing, I think automatically start growing, because you just focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And eventually you become better version of yourself if you try to improve every single day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, thank you for sharing that, honey. That wraps up this session. But before we end, I want to give you an opportunity to share anything that you want to share with the audience, how they can reach out to you and like where they can use your product.
Yeah. If you want to check it out, we have a free trial at repurpose.io. Try it for free, really experience what it's all about. And If you want to reach out to me personally, I'm at Hanny Mora, HANIMOURRA. You pretty much all the platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook.
Thank you so much, Hanny, for joining us today. It was really a pleasure having you on the show. And until next time, this is Pratik Dhakkar from SaaS Unlock signing off.